I want to give you a test. You don't have to write down the answers, but I want you to think before you answer. Okay. What was last week's scripture passage? Philippians 2. Okay, great. Now, next question on the test. The series that was before Philippians 2, what was that all about? It was a four-week series. Advent, okay. It was an Advent series, okay. Then we had a series before that, which was 5 weeks. What? Yes, it was the Reformation. It was the five solas, the onlys of the Reformation. Only Scripture. Only Christ, only faith, only grace, only to the glory of God. Okay. Then we had a series before that, okay, which started in September. Ephesians, right, Ephesians. Okay, and very good, y'all, to collectively pass the test. And because there are so many weak answers, I know that you all don't remember what we covered starting in September all the way up to the, you know, that kind of the end of October. So there was a real dilemma that I had. What do I do?
Start over.
I could start over in Ephesians chapter 1 and go through those first 18 verses. I could do that. But
I can
Okay, I could put the signs up and talk about the treasures we have in Christ. But now we're beginning a new year. So that was my dilemma. And so what I decided to do was to look at this beginning of the new year, in a sense, and use the lens of the first 18 verses of Ephesians as a review as then we move into the our series of Ephesians. And I've normally my sermons are I think, kind of linear, meaning they're progressive. They go in a line, and you might not be able to pick out my points, but you should be able to track how my thinking goes. This morning might be a little bit different. It might not be quite as linear. Hopefully, it's not going to be random. And so I've entitled this sermon "Thoughts on the New Year" because it's just not a straight line my thoughts are kind of like this morning. But we're going to be looking at this New Year with that lens of Ephesians 1 through verses 1 through 18. But what I want you to do is to turn first of all to the book of Genesis. But before you do, let me pray. Father, I thank you that you have given us this place to gather as your people to worship you, our God, to think about what you have done for us in Christ. And we thank you that you have given us this day. You've made it, and we can rejoice in it because it is your gift to us. And I thank you that you've promised to be here. And I pray that we might hear from you today as we look into your word, faithfully recorded by your servants. And Spirit of God, apply it to our hearts, that we might be those who are faithful followers of Jesus. Amen. How many of you all stayed up December 31st all the and crossed the new year? Anybody? Okay. It's like maybe half of you. Did you watch the ball drop? So Gail and I did. We watched the ball drop. The ball drops, the confetti falls, the couples kiss, and everybody yells Happy New Year. And then everybody collapses, right? That's the way it works. And now we are 1 week into the new year. How's it going? Pretty good? Not so good? What is this new year all about? Have you ever thought about what is, every year at the same time, January 1, God gives us this new year. So what is the new year all about? That's kind of what I want us to talk about to begin with this morning, is what the new year is all about. And to figure that out, we go back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. And what did you see in Genesis chapter 1? What is it that we see? The beginning begins with God. His will, His plan, His pleasure, His kingdom, His world begins there. In the beginning, God. And then in verse number 26, God creates Adam and Eve. And then in 28 through 30, He gives Adam and Eve a task. And that task is called the creation mandate. They are to be fruitful and multiply. They are to subdue and rule over this world. That's their task. They are God's representatives. They are to see what the Garden of Eden is like, and then they are to expand it until it covers the entire world. And they and their progeny, their descendants, are supposed to rule over this world in God's stead, representing Him. That's the creation mandate. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, rule over it, and subdue it. Rule it for the glory of God. That's their task. And then He gives them a prohibition in chapter 3. And they're supposed to do this and do whatever you want in this world, but don't do one thing. And He says, there in chapter 2, He says, don't eat of the tree in the center of the garden. Okay. Eat whatever else you want, but don't eat from that tree. And then in the middle, between Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3, what they are doing is they are fulfilling the task that God gave them. They are obeying God. They are loving God. They are doing what, you know, everything that God wants them to do. They are loving each other. Life is good. They're walking with God in the cool of the the cool of the day. After the day's tasks are done, after they're through eating dinner, the dishes are putting away, God comes down and He walks with them in the garden. And so they're in great fellowship with God, with each other, with their world. They're experiencing that Hebrew word shalom, peace, fullness, contentment, wholeness. Everything is right and as it should be. That's in between chapter 2 and chapter 3. Then in chapter 3, what happens? What's it say in verse number 1? But the serpent is, you know, more cunning than all the other, you know, he's there. Satan comes in the form of a serpent and he engages Eve in conversation. Eve must have been near the tree in the center of the garden. We don't know where Adam was. We know a little bit later it says that he was there with her, but he could have been just around. So Satan, the serpent, entered into dialogue with her and tempts her to eat of the tree. And she sees it, that it looks good to eat. Probably smells good. She takes it. She gets a bite. She says it tastes good. And then she gives some to Adam. And what does Adam do? He does what he's supposed to. He eats of the tree. Now, think about this Genesis 1. First, Genesis 1 and Genesis chapter 2. What Adam and Eve were thinking and what Adam and Eve were feeling as they went about their task, and put yourself into that situation and make that you. Make 2018 Genesis 1. Okay. You get up in the morning and you go out into your world, and what is it that you see? What? You see beauty? God's provision for you? View, in a sense, think of yourself as Adam and Eve in this, but it's 2018. This is His world, and He has given it to you to work out His will, His plan, bring Him glory in this. He says, "Behold, I've given it to you." And so your tasks and your relationship are all about His will and His plan and His glory. It's about His calling on your life. How would that change the way in which you view the work that you do and the relationships that you have? This is the man God has given to me. This is the woman God has provided for me. This is the family that I've been placed in. This is His job that He has given me to do. How can that change your perspective? These hobbies that you're engaged in, they are part of God's good gift to you to enjoy His creation, to go out and fulfill His will and His plan for this world. Okay? That's our lives. We've started a new year, and He has placed us here to fulfill His work in this world through the relationships that we have, through the jobs that we have, whether it is wiping noses and changing diapers, or whether it is healing people, whether it is creating things, whether it is just working around the house, not just working around the house, whether it is this 9-to-5 job or 8 in the morning to 6 job at night, this is what God has given us. Now, Adam and Eve come along and then they eat of the fruit. Why did they do it? Well, he says they wanted to be like God. Okay, now think about it. Run with that. What's in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God, and it was all about God and His will, His plan, His glory. So why did they do it? What was the change? Well, yes, they dialogue there. Okay, and what's going? There is a change in their mind where they started to see life is not about God's will, God's plan, God's kingdom, God's glory. It's about my will, my plan, my kingdom, my glory, my pleasure. I want to be like God. It's all about me now. So when we go about our task, the exact same things is going to happen to us. The temptation is going to come along, and what are we going to do? We are going to eat the fruit. We're going to start viewing that life is all about me, all about my will, my kingdom, my pleasure, my glory. And when Adam and Eve did that, what was the result? Death. What else? Separation from God. Banishment out of the garden. Shame. Everything falls apart. That shalom, that peace, that wholeness was shattered. Internally, their relationships with themselves, there was that shame. They were embarrassed. They hid from God. They didn't want to be seen. Inner turmoil was there. There was shame. Their relationship with each other was messed up. Adam blames Eve for all the problems. Then Adam blames God. The relationship with each other's messed up. The internal relationship, the vertical relationship's messed up. Then God curses the world, and he sends them out into that cursed world. And what do they have in that cursed world? They have hard, frustrating, in a sense, almost non-productive work. And then one day, I guess they're out in the field somewhere, maybe in the woods, we don't know, and they discover the body of one of their sons. Put yourself, parents, into that situation. You discover your child dead. You go from the garden where everything is wonderful out here in a cursed world where things are so bad. And then to make it worse, they find out that another brother has murdered him. Following God's will, God's plan, for God's glory, things were great. Doing it their way for themselves led to a huge mess. Now, we will eat the fruit. And the people, you know, you will, and the people around you, the people that you live with, they'll eat the fruit because they are living for themselves, their pleasure, their glory, their kingdom. So the question was, what will be the result? Brokenness. A world of brokenness and a world of that is cursed and relationships that are broken. That's the result. Now, I don't know what the specifics will be, but I think we can be certain that some of the things that will greet us when we get up tomorrow morning and throughout the rest of the year, some of those things are going to be good. It's still God's world, and we'll get up and we'll go outside and we'll be greeted by sunshine. It's going to be warming up to 60 degrees later this week. And there will probably be birds singing, and there'll be blue skies, and things will be great. We'll see. Have you all been enjoying the moon recently? Yeah, super moon, and it's been beautiful. So we got some of that beauty. We'll hear things that'll be great. The songs of the birds, like Adam and Eve heard. We'll see animals. I saw a 6-point and an 8-point in my yard yesterday. You know, and there'll be other animals. We'll see other beauties of this earth. Well, John Bunyan in his book, what's it called? No, not Pilgrim's Progress. It's the man's soul, the assault on man's soul, the city man's soul. Anyway, he talks about the eye gate, the ear gate, nose gate, mouth gate, and feelings gate. These things, senses that God has given us, that we can, we'll see the beauty of this world and the things in it. We'll hear sounds and we'll hear laughter of children. So things will be good, even though the world is broken, even though relationships sometimes are not good. So there's a lot of evidence of God's grace out there, which we will experience in 2018. But there will be other things that will not be good. Plans that we make will fall through. You know, dreams will be broken. They will fade away. Goals will not be achieved. Things will be shattered and broken. Some of you are going to feel stuck in your relationship with God. You're not going anywhere, and you think, I'm feeling like I'm going backwards. That's going to happen to some. Some of you are not going to be, you know, you're not going to accomplish much. You're going to be feeling, what I'm doing is just taking up with the miserable and the mundane things of life. Doing the same old thing and seeming to get nothing really accomplished. That's going to be part of 2018. Another part of 2018, for some, it will be times of terrible experiences and dark days. dark days, terrible experiences because of maybe physical health brokenness, because of relationships that are going to break up, mental darkness and assaults and brokenness, sexual brokenness, darkness, disturbing things. And so the question then is, what will you do in the darkness, in the times of difficulty? What will we do? That's the big question. And I think that's where Ephesians 1 comes into play. So why don't we turn over there? Paul's writing this letter to the church, to the Christians in the city of Ephesus, which is in Turkey. And the recipients are, he calls them, the saints who are in Ephesus, faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay. And these then in verses 3 through 18, he tells these Christians, or he reminds them about how blessed they are. That's what he does in those next verses. And we looked at those in September and part of October. Let me read this to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Now, what Paul is saying here is before Genesis 1:1, okay, before the beginning, God says, I want you to know I loved you. Okay. I knew you and I loved you, even though I knew how messed up you were going to be. That's what he's saying. And not only that, what I did is I wanted you to be part of my family. I wanted to spend eternity with you. And therefore, I put into place a plan by which I was going to be able to spend all eternity with you in joy. That's what he's saying in these verses. That's what he's telling these people. Now, it says that they were blessed, these Ephesians were blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now, this is not just true of the Ephesians Christians. It's true of all Christians. It's true of everybody who is in Christ. Okay. Now, what blessings have you been blessed with? Every blessing. So say it with me. I have been blessed with what? Every blessing. Okay. The blessings that you have been blessed with is that God chose you. God chose you. God wanted you to be in His family. He chose you, and He predestined you, what? To be in His family. He determined beforehand that you were going to be a part of His family, and He was going to do whatever it took to get you there. And what did it take? It took, I'm going to find it in here, redemption. He said, I would die for you. I paid for your sins so that you could be forgiven. And not only are you forgiven, I now view you as blameless, holy and blameless. And I have adopted you into my family. And I have a great plan for you that I have been revealing to you in my word. You know what it's all about. And you know that you have an inheritance that is waiting for you. And how can you be sure? Because my Holy Spirit has been given to you. He indwells you as the guarantee. These are the blessings. And so we have to ask the question, how does this relate to the mess in the experiences of 2018? Let me see if I can explain. When you feel unwanted or unloved, go back to this. God says, I loved you, and I chose you. Everybody else might reject you, but I value you. When you keep screwing up, and you will. And you'll make promises. And you'll break them. What do? You go back to this. Christ died for me. He paid for my sin. And because He has paid for my sin, I am what? Forgiven. And when God looks at me, how does He see me? Holy and blameless. So when you screw up, you go back to that. I am forgiven. My sin has been paid for. God views me as holy and blameless because I am in Christ. When you feel not only not loved or not valued, when you feel all alone, remember this. You've been adopted into God's family, and that means you do have a whole bunch of brothers and sisters. You have people, and you are not all alone because of what? You got the Spirit of God who lives within you. So that no matter if everybody else rejected you, God is still there. He's with you because he's in you. You're never alone. When you got bills to pay and you don't think you got the money to pay it, or when you've got circumstances that are crushing in on you and you're beginning to feel anxious or fearful. Do Christians ever feel anxious or fearful? Yeah, we do. And when that happens, when you start to be afraid, what do? You remember you got a daddy. You've been adopted. You got a father. And he knows what you need even before you ask him to meet those needs. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. You've got a father. When nothing seems to be going right, and that's going to happen when you look at the world and you see it seems to be a mess. And that's going to happen. How does this help you? You've got knowledge. You've got an understanding that God's got a plan. And that plan is ultimately he's going to unite all things together in Christ. Everything is going to be fixed. All the brokenness will be healed. He's already revealed where the world is going. He's going to reunite all things together in Christ. And when you're confused, what do? You remember, you got the Holy Spirit. Whoever lives to make intercession for you. You've got the Holy Spirit who pours out the love of God in your heart, and that keeps you. You've got the Holy Spirit who is the Spirit of wisdom. And he will guide you. And when you feel you're missing out on so much, and you look around and you see that people are enjoying things that you're not enjoying, and their life seems to be so much better than yours, what do? You remember you got an inheritance. It's reserved for you. It won't fade away. I think everything that we're going to face, everything that you're going to face in 2018, all the difficulties and all the problems, if we see them through this lens, we'll know it's okay. Now look at verse number 11. There's so much truth in this, but I want to focus in on one thing in this. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Notice how Paul describes God. He describes God as the one who works all things according to the counsel of his will. How many things? All things. Say it with me. All things. Okay. He works every single thing that you'll go through, that I'll go through, according to the counsel of his will. And that includes the difficulties, and that includes the darkness. Now, when you go through the darkness, and the difficulty, and the dark things, you won't be able to figure out why. You're going to rack your brain, and you're going to try to, and you'll ask the questions, God, why is this happening? Why am I going through this? And you know what? You aren't going to hear a voice telling you why. Deuteronomy says that there are secret things that are known only to God. The things that are revealed belong to us, but there are secret things, and they belong to God. And a lot of the why we go through things fall into those secret things in which we will not understand the why. And we need to be okay with that. Verse 11 says he's working out all things according to the counsel of his will. That we know. And we're going to wonder, this is evil. This is wrong. This can't be God's will, God's plan. This is not good. He works all things according to the counsel of His will. That which we would say is good and that which we say is bad or evil. And sometimes some of us in this year will go through something that is not good. In fact, it is evil. Not any good in it. It is evil. And God is at work in the evil. Now, think about Jesus. Okay, Jesus is God. Jesus was the perfect man. Okay, and Jesus was rejected. He was beaten. He was betrayed. His friends deserted him. He was hated. He was falsely arrested. He was tortured. He was murdered. Is that good or evil? Evil. That is evil. That is the greatest evil. Not good. Okay. But through that evil, God was working out great good. Philippians 2 tells us that Jesus was highly exalted and given a name that was above every name. When did that happen? After He was crucified. After He died, then He was highly exalted. He was given the glory that was His before the world would begin. After all the evil was done to Him. We get great good done for us after Jesus died, after the evil was done for Him. We get salvation. Millions get salvation through that great evil. Now, if God can use, I think that is the greatest evil that has ever been done. If God can take the greatest evil and use it for the greatest good, the salvation of millions and the exaltation of Jesus Christ, can He not take the evil that is done to us and use it for good and even great good? Is it possible? Yeah, it is possible. And I think it's not just possible, I think it is probable that that is what He's doing. Now, will we see it and will we understand it all? I don't think so. The great good with Jesus, he saw it after His death. And that might be what happens for us. God is working all things according to the counsel of His will, even the wrong, even the evil, even the bad things of life. And we might not see the full ramifications of it in this life. That's something I think God will reveal to us in the future. Why? For the same reason why He gave all these blessings here in chapter 1. Look at verse number 6. He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will to the praise of His glorious grace. Verse number 12, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. Verse number 14, who is the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. We were given all these blessings to the praise of His glorious grace. And I think that he will reveal to us after we're dead and in the next world what he was doing so that we will marvel at him and will praise his glorious grace. Don't expect to figure it out here. The secret things belong to God. But we do have verse 11. That he is working out all things according to the counsel of his will. Now, Daniel 2 has a very interesting verse. This is Daniel's prayer after God reveals to him what Nebuchadnezzar read. He says this. He, talking about God, knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. God knows what's in the darkness, and light dwells with him. What seems dark to us, or what is darkness to us, is not darkness to God. What is a mystery to us is not mysterious to God. What confuses us doesn't confuse God. Darkness is light to him. Now, we can walk in the darkness. When we walk in the darkness, remember, he walks with us because he's in us. And there is no darkness in him. And the one who walks with us is our Father. Our Father who loves us. Our Father who is wise and good and sovereign, who's working out all things according to the counsel of his will. So, and I've said this before, don't doubt in the dark what you've believed in the light. If you believe this in the light, don't doubt it in the dark. If you believe verse 11 in the light, don't doubt it in the dark. Now, one additional thought on Adam and Eve. When they were kicked out of the garden, we'll say into the darkness out there in the world, God initiates that plan that he formulated before the beginning of the world. And that was to bring the Redeemer, Jesus. And he promised that in Genesis chapter 3. And then he starts, and he creates that nation out of Abraham, but they're off down in Egypt. And he brings them out, and they get to Mount Sinai. And God comes down on the mountain, and it's a really scary thing, right? There's a lot of thunder and lightning and flashing, and it's a scary thing. And then Moses leads them, but they're following a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Okay, what is that? The fire. What's the fire a representation of? What is that? That's God. That's God in his glory. He is that blazing fire. They build the tabernacle, and then there's fire in the tabernacle in the Holy of Holies. They build the temple of the Holy of Holies. There's fire in there. That's God. When Jesus comes, he's God with us, right? That's what Jesus means. God with us. Emmanuel. And he declares, I am the light of the world. The light of the world. And then he turns to his followers and he says to them, what? You are the light of the world. Who's in us? The Holy Spirit. God is in us. And so wherever we go, God goes. We are the light of the world. Wherever we go, we get to take God with us. And we get to, he has given us the privilege to be about his plan, his kingdom, his pleasure. And when we meet people, we can ask the question, what is it that these people need to know about God? And then we get to reveal it. Isn't God gracious? We get to be God, in a sense, in this world. It's back to Adam and Eve ruling over this world in God's stead. Wherever we are, we get to take God's rule and we get to show God. That's what's before us in 2018. We get to be God's instruments in this world to show him to those who don't know him. And then to be him to each other. So when you leave here and you're with people out in the hallway, in the classroom, at home, out in the world, ask yourself or ask God, what do they need to know about you? And then let them know. Let's pray. Father, we are blessed. Help us to understand that more. What's available to us in Christ? Father, I know that there are people here that don't know you. They're not in Christ. Still under the curse, not blessed. I pray that you would open them eyes, their eyes and show them the glories of Jesus and draw them to him. And Father, we who know him, may we understand him better. And Father, when we help us to understand how blessed we are and help us to understand that you've got this world under control. And Father, for those here who've already are experiencing the discouragements or in the darkness in 2018, I pray that you draw near to them, comfort them, help them to know that you've got them and you'll never let them go. And help them to see and to trust. I pray this in your name. Amen.